Again, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. I ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the Word of God tonight, just to be exactly where God would have us to be. But let's pray and ask God to bless the teaching of His Word tonight. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I pray that You'll help us as we get into Your Word tonight, that we'll always teach, that we'll always preach exactly what Your Word says, that we'll never be to the right or to the left, but that we'll always rightly divide Your Word, God. And I pray, dear Father, that You'll just help us as we've come together tonight to let the things of the world go, get to let tomorrow take ease in our mind, to let the things that maybe got us frustrated today, may we find refuge as we're here together tonight. I want to thank You for my church family. God, I pray that You'll touch all of the many needs that are in our church family. God, I pray that You'll just touch all of the prayer requests that's on our hearts and on our minds. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, for the families in our church that need some special touch right now. God, I pray that You'll just work in those situations. God, I pray that You'll just use our church, God, in the way that You see fit. May we be a place where Christians can come in and they find strength, where sinners can come in and they feel conviction, they feel the power of God, and they get saved before it's everlasting too late. Again, we ask You just to touch tonight. Help us to always to give You glory with our lives and point someone to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, such a wonderful study. Not that the teaching was that great, but just God's Word is so awesome. As we were studying in Ephesians chapter number 6 for the past few weeks about putting on the whole armor of God, I don't think that I covered verses 19 and 20 last week. I really couldn't remember. And as I was looking back over Ephesians chapter number 6 this week, it just kept speaking to my heart. So I wanted to go ahead and share it with you tonight. And if we did look at it last week, I'm sure it won't hurt us to look at it again. The notebook that I was using, I filled it up and I don't know what happened to it. I was looking around the house for it this afternoon and I couldn't find it. So Ephesians chapter number 6, let's begin reading verse number 18. I know that we covered this part last Wednesday night. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We talked about last week how that once we get that whole armor of God on, we know that it's available to us. We know what the different pieces are for. We know how that God has prepared us to be able to go out into war, a good warfare, and to also that we may stand against the wiles of the devil, that those fiery darts will be put out before they harm us. And as we looked at that, then we looked at how that praying fits into our life and how that we should be praying for one another and how that the prayers of a righteous man, the fervent prayers of a righteous man, availeth much. But verse number 19 is kind of where I wanted to look at tonight for just a moment. And we're going to actually move on very quickly. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As you can imagine, as Paul's writing this, and we know that he was in and out of prison, he was being arrested, and probably at this time he was kind of under like a house arrest, that he was writing in the book of Ephesians and the letter here to the church of Ephesus. And as he is writing this, and he talks here about, for I am in bonds. And we know that he completely understood what that meant. But what kind of got to me tonight in verse number 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. We've been talking for the last few weeks about putting on the whole armor of God. And we talked about the truth and the shield and the different things there that make up the whole armor of God. But as we also do that and we're walking around this armor, I think that we also need to be sure that we are yielding to the Holy Spirit and that we're willing to open our mouth when God tells us to open our mouth. You know, a lot of times in our life, I think that God puts us in circumstances, and we may be standing here with this armor on, and we're looking for the devil to attack. We're looking for things to go wrong, and we're thinking, well, how can I survive? How can I still be standing when all this is over? And I know that in Ephesians chapter number 6 that we kept talking about standing and standing and standing. But as we're standing and as things are happening in our life, we should also realize that those things may be happening in our lives to put us in a situation, to put us in a place, to put us in a time that we may speak boldly about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look one more time at what this said here in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 19. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. You know, we're living in a day and time when the gospel is not something that everybody is comfortable speaking about boldly. I couldn't help. I don't know why I thought of this guy, but there's a guy in our church tonight. Yep, I see him back here. I won't call his name because I don't want to embarrass him to death, but I don't know why, but you crossed my mind tonight. And I know this guy, he's actually a plumber. And he comes into the shop from time to time. Some of y'all are figuring out who I'm talking about. I wouldn't talk about Justin, too, if he wasn't here to hear it. But anyway, so when Justin comes into the shop sometimes, we talk about plumbing. And then there's also another hobby that he has that I learned on down the road and getting to know him there at the shop. But he also likes to work on cars. He likes to rebuild stuff and put stuff together. And from my understanding, if you walk in his shop and you drop your hot dog, you pick it up and eat it because his shop is that clean. And that's just something that he loves to do. And, you know, I talk to him sometimes, and I know nothing about cars. I would love to be able to work on a car. To me, that is so interesting. I've been in plumbing so long that plumbing is not that interesting to me right now. And for some reason, I just want to get into working on cars. And I did try to change my oil one time, and I learned better than that, so I don't even do that anymore. But we won't go into that story. But there's things there that I can start talking to Justin about cars. And I can see him perk up. I think he does plumbing enough that he wants to talk about something else too. But I can see him perk up, and he speaks boldly about cars. He knows about them, and you get to talking to him about motors, and I know he sent motors off, and he's done this, and he's done that. And man, he'll perk up, and man, he just talks and talks and talks. I know he's real quiet at church, but sometimes he's not real quiet at the shop. And he wants to talk about cars, and you can see him perking up, and he speaks boldly. And why can't we be that about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because there's times when the gospel comes up or Jesus' name comes up, and if we're not careful, we look around to see whose presence that we're in before we're willing to speak up boldly. We look around to see who we may offend, or we'll look around to see, oh, is everybody going to think that I'm some kind of holy rolling Christian? I don't want everybody to think that I'm one of those people. Well, you know what? I think sometimes that we should pray this prayer like was being prayed right here. He says, give me boldness that I may speak boldly. I know sometimes that at your workplace, maybe that's not the correct opportunity. It's not the correct time. I understand that you're being paid to do a job, and it might not be the correct time to do that. But I also understand that there have been times, I was telling somebody just a couple of Wednesday nights ago, that Autumn and I was at the Mount Airy Hospital one night, and there was a lady that was in the waiting room, and we were standing there in that waiting room, and I seen her come in, and man, she was just tore out of the frame. I don't know what was going on in her life, have no idea, still have no idea what was going on in this lady's life. But standing there in that waiting room, I knew without a doubt, now me being your super spiritual pastor, this is how I do things, I knew without a doubt that I was supposed to go over there, that the Lord was speaking to my heart and wanted me to go over and say, ma'am, can I just pray with you? I don't know what's going on in your life, but can I just pray with you? But you know what? I wasn't that bold. I mean, there was a lot of people in there. Everybody's going to think, now look at that guy over there. He's one of them Looney Tune Christian people. Well, yeah, that's what I should be. I should be so crazy about Jesus Christ and the love that he had for me that I'm willing to do anything that I feel like God puts on my heart. But I couldn't do it, and I sat there in that waiting room, and I struggled with it, and I battled with it, and I just wouldn't get up and go do it. And then as we left the hospital that night, just so happened she was standing out in the parking lot. And Autumn and myself and maybe the kids were with us. We went to walk by her, and again, I felt God speaking to me and say, okay, I wanted you to pray with her up there, and you didn't, so pray with her here. And thankfully, I didn't walk by the second time without doing it, but it was a lot better out there. It was just me and Autumn and the kids, you know, and they know me. But why can't we be bold? Why can't we look at ourselves, and we got this whole armor on, man. We got ourselves all protected. We're doing our best to be what God has called us to be. And then here in Ephesians chapter number 6, he says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I know that the way that I live my life speaks bold. It should speak bold. I know that the way that I live my life is going to speak louder than my words sometimes. But sometimes God wants us to open our mouth and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Sometimes God wants us to open our mouth and tell somebody, preacher, I don't know what in the world to say. I don't know scripture like you do. Well, you know what? I don't know a whole lot of scripture either. There's a whole lot of scripture that if you can give me the first couple of words, I'll get the rest of it. There's a whole lot of scripture that I have memorized through my life. There's a whole lot of scripture that just is in my heart. But there's also a whole lot of things that when you're talking to somebody that's lost, you're talking to somebody that don't know a whole lot about the Bible, you know what they need to hear more than anything? What did God do for you? Amen. How has God changed your life? See, I can be standing and talk to somebody that's lost, and don't get me wrong, there's power in the Word of God. There is absolute power. And I believe that you could be talking to somebody that's lost, and you could quote John 3:16 to them, and I believe that there would be some power in that. But when you tell them how John 3:16 affected you and your life, how it changed who you was to who you are now, and no, we're not perfect now, but thank God I ain't what I could be and I ain't what I used to be. I am now a child of God on my way to heaven. And when I get to where I finally will become bold about those things and let people know, I see people all the time that I know without a doubt that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And when I say that, I'm talking about just seeing the situation that they're in. I don't know anybody's heart, but I feel for sure that they need Jesus Christ. And yet I'm not bold enough to walk up to them and say, let me tell you about a better way. Let me tell you about a different life that you can have. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ can do for you. It's not anything that I can do for them, but let me tell you what Jesus Christ can do for you. He says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If you're talking sports, we'll speak up boldly. Lord have mercy. Right now, if you're talking politics, people will speak up boldly. There's more than I can handle a little bit right now. If you're talking about a certain sports team, they'll speak up boldly. They'll even speak up boldly about their church. Hey, I go to Fellowship Baptist Church. God's blessing. We're excited. We love to have you there. But what about the boldness to say, you know what? Jesus Christ died for you and wants to forgive you of your sins and give you a better life and give you eternal life. That's hard to be bold about, isn't it? That's harder to just come out and say. He says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. You want to know what the mystery of the gospel is? People who are lost don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that a lot of Christians, now when I say this, you ask them what the gospel is. And the reason I say this is because I hear people say all the time, they'll tell something and they're wanting you to know how serious they are that it's the truth. And they'll say, now that's the gospel. Yeah, they probably wouldn't tell me. I hear the gospel a lot at the plumbing supply. People say, that's the gospel. It wasn't the gospel by a long shot. But here's the gospel. That Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross. He lived a perfect life here for 33 and a half years or something close to that. He was born of a virgin, lived his perfect life here. That he gave his life on a cross. That he died. That he was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. And one day he's coming back for us. That is the gospel. That's what we should be sharing with people and showing them the mystery of the gospel and letting them know what the gospel did for you and what the gospel did for me. For which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We know that we should be bold about that. We know that we have something amazing in our lives. And yes, when we talk about cars, people perk up and talk about cars. When we talk about sports teams, people perk up and they'll talk about sports teams. They'll talk politics. But how bold are we about Jesus Christ and about the gospel? A lot of times, we remain quiet. And we'll use the line, listen, I use this too in my life, just so you know. Well, I don't want to force anything on anybody. Well, listen, you can't force Jesus on anybody. It's absolutely impossible. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And you can't force Jesus on anybody. But I want to tell you something. There are people who are in bad condition tonight that need to know, that need to hear from us boldly of how Jesus Christ can change their life. They need to know that. Not that I know. We don't want to be the kind of people that are condemning. We don't want to be the kind of people who are trying to force our beliefs on anyone. I'm not going to force my beliefs on anyone. But I believe that it is very important for me to be bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading into Philippians chapter number 1. I really didn't mean to be there that long. Well, preacher, I'm still not sure about being bold. I'm still not sure that I know what I'm talking about. Tell somebody what Jesus Christ did for you. Be bold about that. Know what your testimony is. I think it is so important, and I'm looking forward. Again, you can go ahead and write it down in your notebook. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, we're going to have testimony service again. I enjoyed that last year, and I've already been praying about it. I've already been looking forward to it. I think it's really important that you know what your testimony is and how to give your testimony to someone else. You never know, you might be the very one that's in the same shape that they were in or that they are in. And they need to know how the gospel changed your life. Let's go look at Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That gospel that saved your soul. Listen, for your fellowship in the gospel. We know what the gospel is and we know what the gospel did for us. And he says, I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For just a moment tonight, I want us to look at that last part of that scripture tonight. We have people that really don't understand salvation. They don't understand how that Jesus Christ, and you know, I don't understand why. I believe in that with all my heart that I know that Jesus Christ gave his life for me and that his blood washed my sins away. Now, how that really happens, I don't know, but I'm thankful that God put that plan in place for us. Why he did it, I have no idea. But you know, we have a lot of people who think that they have to listen to this verse right here, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. I want you to understand tonight, and I want myself to understand that yes, we're talking about being bold about the gospel. We're talking about going out and doing works for the glory of God. But you know what? It's not up to you and me to perform anything to prove Christ in our life. Perform. When you think about that word perform, I'm glad that my salvation is settled. I'm glad that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Fellowship Baptist Church can vote me out of this pulpit next Sunday, but you can't do anything to change my name being in the Lamb's Book of Life. That they can fire me from my job tomorrow and they can run me out of the building, but they can't do anything to change the fact that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That all of these things that can change in our lives so quick, but you cannot change the fact that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there are so many who think that they have to perform that Christ lives in their life. The thing of it is a performance is something that's fake. A performance is something that's not real. It's something that you're going out and you're doing, and it's just so that everybody else can see what's going on. I want to perform for you. But I want us to look at our lives tonight, and it maybe some of us might be performing. That some of us might be in a place that we're putting out a life so that others see our life with Christ. But I don't want us to get so hung up on performing. I don't want us to be performing, because I'm thankful that the work that Jesus Christ did in my life, that he is so perfect that the Bible says that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that it's settled and that there's nothing that you can do about it. But so many people are so caught up in performing. I talk to people all the time that say, you know, preacher, I would really like to quit doing this in my life. Or preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I can't quit doing this. Or preacher, I know this, but for some reason my life, let me tell you something, that sometimes we're so worried about performing and we're so worried about the actions of our life that we never fully surrender ourselves unto God and let him do his work in us. That's where it comes to. See, it's not about if you think that I'm a Christian or not, if you think that I failed God or not. You say, now, well, wait a minute, preacher, you're sounding contradictory to what you was talking about on Sunday, because you were talking about on Sunday about people setting their own traps and jumping in their own traps and those kinds of things, and how that we take our liberty and we abuse our liberty in Christ. And yes, I completely say that too. I still believe that. But see, the thing of it is we're worried so bad about performing that we don't ever totally yield and surrender ourselves unto Christ. If we will totally yield and surrender ourselves unto Christ, then I won't have to perform anything. I won't have to be doing anything fake on the outside of my life, because on the inside of my life, I will be yielding myself to Jesus Christ. It is my goal and it is my absolute desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that molds me and that shapes me like Jesus Christ. Will I ever reach perfection? Absolutely not. Not going to happen. But I'm tired in my life of just saying, well, God knows I'm not perfect. We cop out, don't we? We look and we say, well, God knows I'm not perfect. God knows I'm going to mess up. I have people talk to me all the time and they say, well, preacher, I'm just a man. I say, yeah, I am too. I am just a man. I sin. I come short. But there's so many times in my life that I use that for a cop-out, and I stop trying to let my life, see, I'm performing. I'm wanting people to see me like I'm close to Christ. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is performing on the inside. He said, I'm going to perform that work on the inside of you, and that it will be perfect until the day of Jesus Christ. But I don't need to let my outward appearance be a performance. I need to let my relationship and my walk with Christ be so much yielding and so surrendered unto God that my life is actually formed after Jesus Christ. That my life is actually, that when His Holy Spirit speaks, that when I know that I'm supposed to speak boldly, that I talk, that I do the things that I'm supposed to do, instead of being a performance and putting on an outward appearance that makes me look like Christ or makes others think that I may look like Christ, that I have a relationship that shapes me and molds me like Christ. You know, when we say that we're Christians, that's what we're saying, right? That we're Christ-like. Are we really Christ-like? Am I really Christ-like? I have a desire to be, but a lot of times I try to do the performing. I'm making an outward thing. Oh, y'all, look at me. I'm living my life good. I'm close to God. I got my Bible. I got my King James Bible, and I'm going to take it with me. And, man, I believe this, and I believe that. And that's all good, and that's all fine, and that's all dandy. But what about on the inside? Are we really yielding to Jesus Christ? Are we really surrendered to Jesus Christ, or is it a performance? Is it something that's going on the outside, but on the inside, that we're not as close to God as we should be? Paul says, I believe that he that which began this in my heart, that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about my salvation. I believe that I am saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. But I believe that sometimes that my Christian life, look, we ain't gonna like this, is a performance instead of a surrender. I believe, hey, it's just kind of like, you know, we like to use husbands and wives a whole lot, for example, because I can get myself in a doghouse real easy. So it's just like that husband that's mean to his wife 364 or 363 days a year, because he'll get the anniversary too. But on the anniversary and on maybe even the birthday, but on Valentine's Day, oh, he just floods Facebook. Oh, I love my wife so much. And they have this great big romantic dinner. I'll tell you one on me. That way I might even light a fire back up. I may get myself in trouble right here. When Autumn and I was dating, I was a really young man. At that point in time, I thought that smoking was cool, and I decided I was going to smoke. And I smoked for a little while. And I was the kind of person, I didn't hide stuff from my dad, so I told my dad that I smoked, and that was really a bad night, too, and yeah, that wasn't any good. And Autumn, she started, after we'd been dating for a while, she said, you need to quit smoking. You need to quit smoking. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right, honey, I do. And all of a sudden, it was no longer, yeah, right, honey, I do. It's like, I have quit, honey. I've stopped smoking. I went and picked her up from work one night, and we still weren't married at this time, so we went back to Mom and Dad's house, and there when she walked in, it was really simple. I mean, they didn't have no money, but it was really simple. So when she walked in, I had Domino's pizza laid out still in the cardboard with nice little glasses set there. Man, you ain't never seen a Domino's pizza look like I just made it. With these nice little glasses and this candlelight going on, and man, I had all of this beautiful stuff going on, and I just wanted her to know how special she was to me. And you want to know why? Because when she kissed me, she could tell that I'd been smoking. I told her I had quit. But I'd done all of this special stuff because I was feeling guilty about doing something that I had told her that I'd quit. I was performing. I was wanting her to think everything is oh so good. Honey, please don't be mad about that again. That's been a long time again. Long time ago. And sometimes with God and our relationship with God, we find ourselves performing because we failed, we come short, we've done something we shouldn't have done, and all of a sudden we start performing to try to get back in God's good grace, to try to get ourselves back to where we're supposed to be with God. You know what? That's not what it's about. That performance is not what it's about. What it's about is being truly sorry about what you've done and saying, God, please forgive me. God, help me to never do that again. I know that I am capable of doing it again. I know that I am capable of falling for that again. So God, please protect me for that. Help me. Forgive me. I want to yield myself to you. Let your spirit be so real in my life that when I get ready to go for that again, that I feel your spirit draw me, that I feel your spirit speak to me, and I don't go into that again. That's what a relationship with God is about. It's not about a performance, or it's not about I'm going to get myself back in good graces. See, I can remember being a young teenager and getting into stuff that I shouldn't have been getting into. And when God began to convict my heart, don't get me wrong, it helped me. But when God began to convict my heart, I thought that the way to get back into good graces with God was that I was going to read my Bible more tonight. That I was going to listen to gospel music more. That I was going to do something to show God how serious I am about our relationship. Well, God's already showed me how serious he is about my relationship with him. He gave his son Jesus Christ for me. And it is about me allowing myself, it is about me dying daily and saying, God, it's got to be more about you and a lot less about me. Not a performance in my life, not something that I'm trying to get back in God's good graces, but that I get my life to where I'm surrendered unto God. So many times, we end up in trouble because we're not surrendered. We're not willing to give it up. We're not willing to say, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm all yours. I'm willing to give him some. But then, God, there's just a few things, God, that you don't quite understand, and I think that I need to have control of this. And I end up again performing. I end up again with my relationship, my fellowship with God, not being where it's supposed to be, not being what God wants me to be, not being what God's calling me to be. And if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, what God's called me to be, and when I talk about that, I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm not talking about a dad. I'm talking about he has called me to be one of his children. I remember the night that he spoke my name and he called me. And that night I surrendered to him. That night I said, God, here I am. I'll give you my life if you'll just forgive me of my sins. And then as time went on, I've taken stuff back. And I find myself trying to get to the place that God wants me to be. But we need to be in the place that we're so yielded and so surrendered unto God that we do begin to be formed like Christ. That should be our goal. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't even say that. We can't be like Christ. That should be our goal. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Be ye perfect, for I'm perfect. That should be our goal. It may be a goal that's unattainable, but we absolutely don't need to be performing. You know what happens when you begin to perform? Performing is so fake. Performing is so, it's a temporary thing. I don't care what kind of performing you're doing. Sooner or later, you get tired of performing. It comes out. And that's what happens in our lives if we're not careful. We perform. We get up and we act like a Christian. And we know right in here that we're not where God wants us to be. God help us in everything that we do. He's performing on the inside of us. He's already performed that work on us. But as we go and as we do the things that we're supposed to do, let's just fully surrender. Let's yield to that Holy Spirit in our lives. And when I say that, I can't preach to y'all tonight, church. I got to preach right straight to myself. Because this world will beat you up. As you go from day to day doing your daily things, there is so much that tries to draw you. So much it tries to get you to a place where God wouldn't have you to be. And we need to remember one another. We need to remember our families in our church. We need to remember a whole lot of different things going on that God knows all about. I'm not at liberty to talk about a whole lot of them, but I see the devil reaching in our church right now, and he's trying to mess around. Now, I ain't talking about people being at odds with each other. I'm not talking about trying to tear the church down, but I'm talking about the devil going to the families in our church, trying to cause havoc in families in our church. You know what the foundation of the church is? It's the families. That's what our church is made up of. And we need to be really, I mean sincerely praying for our church right now. That God will just move, that we'll support each other, that we'll pray for each other, and that we won't be performing, but that we'll be doing our best to be yielded and surrendered to the work of Christ here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Let's pray tonight. God, I thank you and I praise you for everything that you do. God, I know that I've talked in circles tonight. I don't really even know how to get out what's on my heart. But God, I believe that you want us to be a real place here, God, that you're real, that our relationship with you is real. That we're not performing things on the outside that still allows room for the devil to get in and work on the inside. And God, I pray that you'll help us with that. God, help me with that. I know that I fall short in my life, that I sin. I know those things happen, God. But God, give me the desire that I truly surrender my whole life to you. That I get to the place, God, where I'm willing to speak boldly. That I get to the place that I'm willing to yield to you, God. And God, I pray a special prayer for our church. God, I pray for our families in our church. God, you know what the devil's trying to do. God, you've given us the weapons for it. You've given us the armor for it. And God, I pray that you'll just help us, God, as a church body to be there for one another, for the ones that are going through some really tough times right now, God. I pray especially for them. I pray that that your presence and your power be so real in their homes, God, that the devil cannot win. God, I thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.